Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school. Look.
Leaving it all in.
And we have two beers in the pink and one in the sink.
What do we got there?
It's not even that good.
It's fantastic. I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
We're the Drunk Guys. This week we are reading It Came From Beneath the Sink.
It's all downhill from here.
R.L. Stein. Goosebumps number, who gives a shit? I want to say 38. Number 30, excuse me.
Same thing.
Woo! And I'm starting with a beer. Because holy shit. So it's a Goosebumps book. And, you know, it's all sorts of spooky stuff, scary stuff, like dreams and nightmares. Mm. And this is Dreams and Nightmares, double IPA from Evergreen Brewing Company.
Evergreen?
I don't think... Evergreen in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. I have definitely never heard of them before.
That's a new one. We've had...
Pretty, it looks like a demon on there. That can is wild. That's a great IPA. Well done, Camp Hill. Okay, so just in case you're wondering why this is happening, this is our month of doing Goosebumps books, so we could do a big book at the end of the month. So, you know, we could crap one of these out a day and spend, you know, 1,000 pages reading whatever the fuck the other long one is.
Is this one going to be IQ84?
It will be.
Oh, I'd rather read the Goosebumps. I would rather read... Oh, Goosebumps is like 100 pages. 10 Goosebumps or one IQ84? Oh, I'd do 10 Goosebumps instead.
You could do 10 Goosebumps in a day.
I would. How many? We should have done this on the IQ84 episode. How many Goosebumps would you prefer to read instead of reading that again? What's like your number? Like it's like a Price is Right, Price is Right game. Goosebumps Plinko. So, Jimmy, you selected this book. Tell us why.
Because I read these 30 years ago, and I remembered this one specifically, and it was mostly what I remembered.
I do remember this. I remember for some reason my brother and I both read it, and we just kept saying the title and like singing it to this to the, some sort of other theme song to make it. I don't know what we were doing. It was really a boring time, I guess, in 1985.
Yeah.
And it seemed menacing, and then you read the book, and you're like, "Wow, that was really way to swing and miss there, RL. That was this was the least scary one yet." So the story follows. I was wondering how often he had a female protagonist versus a male protagonist, because in my head, Goosebumps were like a boys' thing, because the girls in my classes at the time were primarily reading like the Babysitter's Club books. But this one has a female lead, so I wonder if he kind of just alternated every month or so.
So her name does rhyme with the character from the last one.
Oh, Fat?
No, she...
her name is Cat.
Oh, yeah, Cat, but she's... He was Burton, and she's Merton.
Merton for a squirt? No, that's wrong. So he... And that could be coincidence. Those are like four books apart, the last one we did. You know, that was mountains of cocaine apart. But it's Kat and her brother, Daniel.
Dog.
And I like...
Dog.
And the dog, Killer.
Kat and her brother, Dog.
Oh. All in the world is a little cat dog. And they... I love this opening sentence, because it's great that they do this. Before my brother and I found the strange little creature under the sink, we were a normal, happy family. In fact, I'd have to say we were very lucky, which is a very modest way to acknowledge your privilege in the Goosebumps world. Like, oh, we're comfortable.
My dad's an actuary.
And they're moving in. Is that what he does?
I don't know. It's just like, I remember when we had career day, and the guy came in, he was an actuary, and dude in right hand was like, how much money do you make? And he's like, not rich, but I'm quite comfortable.
And then he told you when you would die.
Yeah. Statistically.
So they are comfortable, though. They move into a new big house that we never see any of in the book. We just get to the sink.
Her dad falls off a ladder in the hallway.
True. And she does have a bedroom, but like it's never like it doesn't matter that it's a new the house is big. It could they could have moved into a studio apartment. All that matters is that there is a sink. And for some reason their dog, which is like a pussy dog. Terrier. It was like a beagle or something. Yeah. And it goes right under the sink and it's all growly. They're like, "What is it, boy? Trouble in the old mine?" And then he comes out with a sponge. And they're like, "That's birth control." It's the work of Satan.
It's still wet.
Oh, it's sticky. Got little ghost babies on it. And they will haunt the book. That's actually what happens. No, Nate? What does happen?
No. They find the sponge under the sink. I'm like, huh, that's weird. And Kat is like, I think it's moving. It's like it's breathing in and out or something like that. I'm like, yeah, that's weird. And of course... because this is, from what I can tell, every single Goosebumps book, the brother like plays a practical joke on her. He's like, I forget exactly what it was, but, and he's like, oh, no, it's not. And then nobody believes him for the rest of the book. Something like that. Anyway, it's like, oh, it's like it's breathing. That's weird. It's like it's alive. It's like, no, it isn't. And then immediately the dad had climbed up a ladder and immediately fell off. And so... like, oh, that was really bad luck.
No, then they blamed the daughter. Like, what did you do to your father's ladder,
you little bitch? There were no chutes available. Because she comes out there, she's like, Dad, check out this sponge I found. He's like, what sponge? You're too young. And then he like falls off the ladder. And because it was so infuriating because as a child, you wouldn't notice this. But as an adult... who has moved from one house to another one with children, like as fucking if the moving men are bringing furniture in. And I'm like, let me get my screwdriver out to fix things. No, you are supervising that move. They come in, the mom has like a box. They have one box. And she's like, this is utensils.
They lost everything in a fire.
Better start. We're starting over. It's just a blank slate now.
Good thing there's a sponge already in the sink. Ours burned in the fire.
And so then you're like, that was spooky, but because I have an IQ approximately average and I am not 7, I was like, I think that sponge killed that dad. That's what I'm supposed to think right now. And I'm right. But it doesn't really matter. Then she and her brother will do annoying squabbling for the rest of the book. They're like, no, I want that sponge. No, I want that sponge, because they're clearly like Mormon and they're not allowed to have toys.
One of those onion head dolls or some shit.
And the brother's like, let me go with that sponge. I'm going to use it to soak lots of suds. She's like, why do you keep talking about soaking things? There's nothing in the sink. He's like, don't worry. Something Dad told me. And then there's their friend, the greasy Italian, Carlo.
He needs a sponge so he can hold things and clean his hands because they're so greasy.
He's just trying to steal the sponge the whole time and like pull out a stiletto and mug them.
Twiddling his pencil mustache. Nate rolled his eyes.
That's absolutely implied. The text supports it, Nate. Carlo the Italian steals the sponge later.
He's very hot-blooded. Can't be trusted. He needed it.
Check it and see. Got a fever of 103, or whatever the fuck the lyrics are to Hot Blooded.
I think that is true, yeah.
He's not a jukebox hero. Okay, Foreigner songs aside. This, again, like the last Goosebumps book, it takes about 19 chapters for coincidences to pile up for them to realize that something different is happening.
And then they get bad luck, things keep happening. And then at school the next day, Daniel is like, Kat, you have to come see this. And it's one of those things where it's like, and then I turned around and he was there. End of chapter. And then next chapter, look in this book, this thing about the sponge, and it's called
the Encyclopedia of the Weird.
Right.
Well, because Ripley's Believe It or Not was trademarked.
Well, one thing I thought is if these books were written today, they would be filled with product placement. And so you would have like actual things like that. Or and he picked up his refreshing Coca-Cola and said to his sister, I think this might be haunted, you know, dumb stuff like that.
It's like
and
the then Truman
she,
Show.
She said, why don't you bing it?
I already asked Jeeves. You're not going to believe what he told me. End of chapter. He told me 404. 404 error.
And Daniel says, look in this book. It has a description of it right here. It says it's a gruel, but spelled G-R-O-O-L. And that it's the most evil thing in the universe. And that it can't die. And you can't kill it with violence or something like that. And I didn't remember this until it came up later in the book. If you lose it, you die.
If you try to give it away or lose it, you die in a day.
That's clearly like the ring.
Yeah. But it feeds.
Except the opposite.
The, bad,
the ring, you want to give it away.
You don't want to give it away. It makes it so you don't want to.
But in the ring, if you give it away, then you transmit it.
I meant before you die, you see the ring.
Yeah.
Movie.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the horror movie.
I had the wrong thing.
That's the only way to not die is you get someone else to watch the tape. This is the entire plot of the fucking horrific third movie, Rings.
Oh, okay.
Did you guys see...
Where they're just like copying .avi formats of it and emailing it to people.
Did you guys see It Follows? What, a demon STD?
No? What is this? Oh, no.
It's like you have sex with someone who has the thing, and then a weird thing that can look like anyone at any time just walks after you, tries to catch you for the rest of your life until you fuck someone and pass it on to them.
Sounds like that demon thing would occasionally need help or some sort of aid.
It's an allegory, yeah.
No? Nate?
I think it's an imperfect allegory.
So the gruel is
a
bad luck charm that feeds on the misery and bad luck of others around it, and it makes people hurt themselves and get into accidents and, you know,
misplace their keys,
like stub your toe on a table every day. So it's one of the most hellish creatures on the earth.
I mean, the amount of paper cuts it's inflicted is like right up there with, in terms of human suffering, with Rwanda. You know, it's
pretty much up there.
It's an atrocious thing. But they find it in this book, and then they just happen to they find only two pages, and they find this, and I forgot what the other creature was called, but it was like a potato with
the
teeth.
The lynx.
Well, that's on the final page.
Oh, it's in the book too. It's
foreshadowed. R.L. Stein is a craftsman.
It's Chekhov's potato.
It's in there.
Chekhov's potato with teeth.
Chekhov's spud. It scans better. they're like. They go back and forth, like, that's stupid. That book is not real, to, well, fuck it. There's no Wikipedia yet. I guess we're believing this. Yeah. And this is a common trope in horror movies. Like, you ever notice that? Like, horror movies, in the last 20 years, a character goes online and they're like, I found out what that symbol means. And they find a GeoCities page with an entry. Like,
who's still just paying
explains
to host
everything.
This?
That's so like, scoop. That's so spooky.
Or they find like the archivist from the local historical society that explains everything, but it's all, you know, they find it as if it's easy. You know, you just, I mean, I guess now maybe AI could be helpful for that. You're like, hey Gemini, I found this spooky face that has an X under it, and it's in my basement, and it's in my, you know, and then I'm like, oh, that sounds like the demon Bagul.
you should leave the house now.
Is it bagel demon?
I'm pretty sure that's the demon from not Insidious. Was it the Insidious movies?
I know they exist.
What was the one with like Ethan Hawke?
Oh, that's like Black Phone or some shit, or the mask.
Sinister is the one I'm thinking of. Where it's like the demon that steals children, and they do a Zoom call with fucking Vincent D'Onofrio. He's like, you know, the associate professor of spooky shit at the local
professor
college.
Professor of symbology.
And he's like, oh, this is a symbol of Bagul. He says that with a straight face.
A bunch more bad luck things happen to Kat. Like her birthday, it's raining on her birthday.
It's the plot, the lyrics of Ironic.
So many spoons.
I just met the man of my dreams and his beautiful wife. This is terrible.
I'd like to imagine now that she wrote Ironic about the gruel.
This was inspired. You know, when did
Jagged
Little
around
Pill
the same
come
time?
Out?
Jagalopil might have been 94, actually. I don't know.
I think it's 95. 94, 95. I'm almost certain it's 95. Oh, Jagalopil came out in June of 1995. It Came From Beneath the Sink is April of 95.
And she famously recorded the whole album in like one take. So she could have done it.
And then they just hired Dave Navarro and Flea to punch in on a couple of tracks, right? I know the harmonica solo on Hand in My Pocket was the first take that they used.
There you go.
She was like, I don't know how to play this. And they're like, just fucking do it.
Turns out anyone can play this shit.
Yeah, take that Howard Levy or whatever that guy's name is from the Flecktones. You know that guy, the harmonica Gandalf?
I know he exists.
He's like the world. He's like he's like the Jesus of harmonica. He's just unbelievably good. He's like been like concerto for harmonica and orchestra, and everyone's like, "No, it's not. That's not real." He's like, "Please believe me. There's notes in everything." And he must just fucking hate Blues Traveler.
Play Runaround. Fuck you.
Oh, I don't play your chromatic swill. So, yes, bad things are happening. Basically, it rains on her birthday, and her parents are like, well, I guess you don't get a birthday this
year. Turns out you're not getting older. We'll just keep this year going.
And nobody planned for thunderstorms to happen in the summer.
It was the 90s. Parents still looked at, like, I feel like they paid more attention to the weather.
You had to go on the Weather Channel to find it, if you had cable.
Wasn't there a dad sitting on a chair who only reads the newspaper? He definitely read the forecast.
No, this dad is also a fucking gardener, so he would of course know.
But they miss it. That's just how luck works sometimes. Mm,
that is actually how luck works all the time.
All sorts of other crap happens, but eventually she's like, fuck you, sponge, and I'm going to kill you. So she tries multiple times to kill it by like beating it to death with a book. And then what else? She puts in the garbage disposal.
But it just keeps reconstituting itself.
It's like a T-1000. It just like it's just like, didn't Terminator just come out a bit before this? It just like whoosh, sucks itself back together like it's made of mercury.
The sponge just comes out. It's like, have you seen this boy? Or it's kind of like Alex Mack, I guess, for a more timely, another timely reference.
And then she buries it in the lawn and it kills all her dad's flowers. And she's like, oh man, I got to.
Yeah, which didn't make any sense because it poured the day before. And then she's like, oh, all the plants got burnt up from the sun. I'm like, wasn't that ground saturated with water?
No, the gruel did it.
But then it should have been like a massive sponge. It should have sucked all the water out.
He's a sponge. He sucked it all up and sucked it into his nether dimension and pooped it out to there. So like
sponge butthole. It's just filled up. I forgot about the sponge butthole, that those are intergalactic holes.
It's a wormhole, but it's the sponge hole.
Well, it's only a wormhole if you insert yours into it.
I saw a tweet. It was a picture of SpongeBob naked, doing a split on the flat on the floor, and like, oh, he touched it with his spoochie.
Oh, right in the spussy.
In his spink. So then, like, Carlo, the...
On your birthday, the, you get penetrated.
Thieving Italian steals the sponge. He's like, oh, I'm going to get so much a ragu out of my mama's sauce with this sponge. I got so many stains on my table at home. All we need is a sponge, mama. And she's like, no, if you take it, I will die. I'm cursed. And then...
And he goes, like, ah, Phenopoly.
But he's too greasy he's like, to ride his bike, so he slips off of it. He probably also stole the bike, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. He didn't come with a bike.
He can't ride it because he's always got to have his hands out in front. He can't hold the handlebars, doing his little finger pinches.
Like, ah, fuck cool. Like, dude, you're 9. And what is that word you keep using for black people?
And
so they catch up to him. The brother's like, I know he would go to the playground to show people the sponge. Like, man, that kid's fucking lame.
Guys, look at this sponge.
Hey, gather around,
because whenever they show it to like an adult or an older person, it just turns back into a regular sponge so it won't get discovered. So everyone thinks these kids are either incredibly stupid or mentally ill.
Well, they're doing the worst practical joke. You know, like, check it out, it's really exciting. And then they go, hey, this is just a sponge. And then the kid goes, like, I gotcha. And you're like, oh, fuck, I'm glad your grandma died. Like, those are the worst practical jokes. That's what everyone assumes because they're so bad. It's so, like, lame. He runs away and he skids on a grease slick that he created with his hair and his undershirt.
Gumad.
And he's going to show his Gumad. He's like, check it out. What's a Gumad name? Daniela, check it out. I got this pretty cool sponge. She's like, you told me that last time, Carlo, you piece of shit. And then they falls in the street. And he's like, come on, let me back in there. I'm going to stuff you, fill you with my cream like a nice man of God. She's like, we're nine. I think this was in the book, Nate. I don't know if you were reading fast, I'm sure. But
it's true. It's in there. It's between the lines.
Yeah. And he's like, read my hands, bitch. I'm coming up there. And I'm like, you stunats. So then they find him a minute later laying in the street, and it's like the Exxon Valdez just crashed there. There's just oil everywhere coming out of his pores.
I fell
off
my bike and schmutzed my canolo.
The thing went a splush, it went the other way like a loose raviolo. And then like, okay.
A single raviolo.
Let's go look for it. And then they find this, for some reason, this is just like, let me check the sewer. And I was confused for a second. They somehow lift up the manhole cover or something, or like go in the sewer.
Strength.
They do have the whole strength. Manhole covers, I know
experience with
people
manholes.
Told me I've been into a couple manholes. You know, I was in college. You know, and they're extremely fucking heavy to lift those things.
Like,
so I forgot how the kids get into the sewer. I know my dad had to sometimes lift those covers off for his job. And he was like, that was fucking the heaviest goddamn thing. Because you just have like a little pole, like a little rod to hook under. And then like it would take two or three dudes to just shift it.
So you keep it down there.
Yeah. I don't give a... Those turtles are full of shit when they can just like put their head up and it sits on top of them.
It's in the name.
Yeah. And they also have that teenage, invincibility. And don't get me started on the mutant bit. They go down there and she's like, oh my God, there's eyes everywhere. And I thought for a second, I was like, oh my God, like this, is this like the subways or the sewers are not filled with alligators, they're filled with sponges?
The mole people.
There's just chuds.
See, I was thinking
just chuds everywhere.
I was thinking it was gnomes.
It could be. It's a crossover.
But instead she just comes up and says, like, yeah, I didn't find it. That thing, it was just a distraction. A subway, subway, sewer filled with feces. And
now I have hep B.
Who'd have thunk it?
That's the real horror. Incurable liver disease from poop.
The ultimate bad luck.
That would be really bad luck if you just fell into the sewer and got hepatitis.
You know, I know a guy who has hepatitis, and he's like, yeah, I got it in 1974 when I was in New Orleans. I'm like, how do you know that? He's like, that's when I got sick. I got it. I had some bad gumbo. I was like, you ate ass. You ate someone's ass.
I ate gumbo out of someone's
in your mouth.
Ass.
You thought the worst thing you can get was E. coli, and it was not true.
Not.
So then I forget how they find it.
Have it, and they're playing like baseball, and he fucking wails the guy in the head with the ball because of the bad luck, and they're like, better get rid of this evil sponge, and so they take the sponge. I don't know.
Right, because, again, it's the mid-90s. There's nothing else cool to do, so the high school freshmen find a sponge, and they're like, this will amuse us for at least
that.
A half hour. So they get the gruel, they take it back home, and I think they try to kill it again. Right?
This is when they bring it home and put it in the garbage disposal. But it doesn't work. It comes back to life.
Can't be killed with violence.
Reconstituted sponge. It's like the fourth ingredient in dog food. And so then they go back. Let's go back to that book you took out from the library. We have 18 days to return it still. And they read the entry again, which is like a sentence. And it's like, you can't kill it with violence. And the sister's like, Eureka. And then she just starts just licking it. She starts being all cute with it and singing it lullabies. It's like the end of fucking Something Wicked This Way Comes. They're just singing the Oh Susanna. She starts singing to it and like nuzzling it. And the brother, because it's the mid-90s, is like, ah, it's gay. And then she's like, no, just trust me. Who's a cutesy, wootsy little spongy wungy? And then it dies.
It's like, oh God, this is so uncomfortable. I'd rather die than listen to this shit.
This is not meant to be public. And it like crusts up, and then it's like Voldemort at the end of the last Harry Potter movie. It just kind of like turns into, you know, embers and shit. And I was really sure they were going to say it, but they never explicitly said that he had to kill it with kindness. But basically, you had to just be nice to it. And you're like, oh, that's stupid as fuck.
And basically the end? Does anything else happen?
Oh, no. Then they, you know.
Oh, wait, there's one other thing, yeah.
Because the books always have to end with like a aha kind of moment. The dog goes back to the sink and they're like, oh, fuck, the sponge is back. And it comes out holding another thing. And the sister's like, oh, it's just a potato. Because that's hygienic that we have potatoes just anywhere in our house at a given time. I'm willing to accept that. And then it bites her. Hey, what was her last name?
Merton.
Like McPaddywagon? What was her? They don't have a last
Merton.
Name. Oh, Merton. What kind of name is Merton?
It used to be Merkin, but they changed it at Ellis Island.
See, Merton is of old English meaning. Okay, so they're like Mayflower stock. And so the Mertons find a potato, and they're like, oh, the Irish, pores, gross. And then it bites them on the hand, and they're like, oh, fuck.
Potato teeth.
It's the worst kind. Even worse than the vagina teeth in that movie we watched. Oh, yeah. The end. Bum, bum, bum.
That's it.
What'd you think, Nate?
So, again, it's objectively bad, but not necessarily bad for a kid's book. And I was trying to think, like, it's not actually... Okay, the slight twist where it's like, oh, you have to be nice to it. You know, it wants you to be angry, but if you be nice to it, that's how you defeat it. That was a little bit of a twist, and I guess I can see how, for a kid, it would be like, oh, crazy. But it still was kind of silly. And I was thinking, like, what would be a better way? And then I realized there's a different short book, or really short story, about having bad luck that's way better. And it's The Monkey's Paw, where that is about kind of having bad luck, but it's very dramatic. It's much shorter, but it's also like actually has really dramatic like little setups for all three of the wishes. And then, you know, I just wish for 50 pounds and then his wife dies and stuff like that. And oh, we're giving you $50 for the funeral, 50 pounds for the funeral, stuff like that. You know, it actually has a lot more suspense and it's not just fucking dumb. I mean, I don't know. It's a kid's book. I can't really see how I would have read it when I was a kid. I just can't, you know, I'm fucking old now. I just can't do that. But still, I guess it's okay. It's a kid's book. I don't know.
I think it could be better.
That's the thing. It's like it wasn't terrible, but there was a better book in there, in the premise. There's a better book than what we got. That's my criticism. It could have been better.
I think the ending was better than the Lawn Gnomes one, whereas like at least How to Kill It makes sense in this world, as opposed to the Lawn Gnomes where like a dog whistle froze them. Like, okay, why? Like that came out kind of was bullshit. This one at least I felt was consistent with the lore.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
But it is still a kid's book, so yeah, you know, whatever.
I must have read this as a kid because I had this book. I remember the cover. And I completely forgot that it happened. And I'm sad that I remember it now. Because it was really fucking dumb, even by Goosebumps standards. You know, but maybe I'm, we've only read a couple of them now. Maybe I just forgot how shitty they all were.
I mean, they were.
But this was really child schlock. Stupid. I mean, I guess I got to give them credit for trying something a little like different. You know, it's a spooky sponge.
Yeah,
that feeds on bad luck.
Well, you see the at the end of the Lawn Gnomes book, like there was like an interview with R.L. Stine along with a bunch of other weird bullshit, like the combat stats for gnomes. But the thing was like, oh, I like to make stories where, you know, you take like a regular thing and make it scary. I think that's fun. It's like, all right, yeah, that is half of Goosebumps.
And I guess that's, you know, when you have to shit out one a month, you're gonna run out of ideas.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I will say I was just doing some back of the Post-it math here on how many Goosebumps there were. And it's hard to know because there's a lot of different series that were put out. You know, there was the Goosebumps original series, then the Choose Your Own Adventures, and then this. And it's close to 200, which was my guess on the previous episode. That's like around 200. It is about 200, depending on how you count some of them. So to put out 200 books, they're not all going to be zingers. And this is, I don't know, it's probably middle of the pack. But it is very clear now, having read two of these in back-to-back, that it is almost Mad Libs for this guy, how he writes these.
Yeah, pretty much. He's just a content factory.
I wonder, I'm trying to think, when did the last ones come out? Yeah, so there's current series that are still happening. So, like, Goosebumps is, like, there are still Goosebumps happening.
Well, now,
constantly recycling.
ChatGPT can literally write one of these in 60 seconds.
Of similar quality.
There's so much training data, yeah. They're so low quality that if ChatGPT can probably write better ones, it could probably come up with a list of premises with twist endings. You know, if you just did tell it to come up with, like, 40 of those, it'll probably have, like, 3 good ones, and then you go write that.
It's like that South Park where Cartman was the robot giving movie plots. You see that one? He pretended to be a robot, and he's wearing a cardboard box. And he's like, I am awesome, 3000. Yeah. And he went, I don't know how he ends up in a movie executive meeting pitching movies. And he's like, how about a movie where Adam Sandler coaches women's volleyball? And they're like, that sounds like a great movie. And they're like, That robot pitched 1,000 movies in an hour, and 900 of them have Adam Sandler. And then, of course, Cartman farts. That robot just fart? That's horrible. And he's like, initiating fart sequence. That's basically how it would produce them. I mean, R.L. Stine is 80-something years old.
Is
so.
He that old now?
Yeah.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. You know, he was a writer on Eureka's Castle. Do you remember that show?
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't think it's on anywhere to stream. It's like a thing that just lives in my memory.
It was like a Muppets knockoff kind of thing.
Yeah, that's probably why it's not available anywhere. He did write a couple of novels for adults, like at the peak of his Goosebumps fame. So, you know, if we really want to punish ourselves one day, we should read
it's
one of
like
those.
My Uncle Vinny or whatever the fuck. The
Roald
Dahl one. My uncle.
Oh, God.
Oswald.
Uncle Otto.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, have you ever seen what R.L. Stine looks like? He looks like Ben Stein.
He was in the Goosebumps movie because Jack Black played R.L. Stine. And he goes across another teacher in the hallway and he says, Mr. Black. He's like, Mr. Stine. But they switched names. It's very funny.
I like this fact on his Wikipedia page. Stine famously types his books using only his left index finger. Man, imagine if he used all his fingers, how good they could
be. Or how much faster he would have turned out.
Well, he said he has bent and curved over the years. He's just like a weird Gollum guy typing. He has said he has never learned to type properly, thinking it would, quote, slow me down. Yeah, God forbid that happens. It must be Robert, right? What is it? Yeah, Robert Lawrence Stine. But he has like, what the fuck is the title of it? It's like not even available as an ebook. It was printed, you know, mid-90s and no one gave a shit. Like they've reprinted the Goosebumps books. They've even made new covers for a lot of them. But the book that he wrote that was like the one grown-up book. Oh my God, he wrote 3 Garbage Pail Kids novels.
Oh, man. That makes sense.
The one adult book. I think was not reprinted. They're just like, no one needs that, Bob. I'm just his Wikipedia page. It's like reading the source code for the website, like the amount of lines of book titles I'm scrolling past.
So the internet is reporting. So I you know, R.L. Stein net worth, according to Google, about $200 million. Although I think that's actually a low number.
Yeah.
That's only $1 million per book.
According to celebritynetworth.com. So it has to be right. Though there is a link to a news article that in 1 year, he made $40 million. I think it was 96 to 97, he made $40 million.
That's the equivalent of what today? Twice that.
It's true.
Easily.
So yeah, he's probably worth a lot more than that. Unless he blew it all on cocaine and hookers and, you know.
You know what? You do what makes you happy.
Good for him, man. He cashed in hard, by the way. You know, in the late 90s. I rewatched some of the Goosebumps show with my kid recently. Holy shit, were those bad. Oh my God. And he was in every episode. Or several episodes, I should say. He has little cameos.
It's like they're Stan Lee.
Or he'll do like a little intro. He's like, I wrote this book thinking about this. And he has like no personality. He looks like he just shot Novocaine into every part of his face. And he's just melting. He's just, he's just a spooky tale. Like he was so, I was like, oh no, this is the scariest part is this man's face. We have a couple more to go, guys.
Yeah.
Excited?
I'm pumped. I'm ready to party. Lubed
I
up.
Am not.
At least they're easy.
At least they're easy.
Wait, holy shit. This can't be true. He wrote Spaceballs the book?
I don't know. Is that like the novelization of Spaceballs?
I think it's the novelization of Spaceballs. Yes, was written by R.L. Stein.
That's so weird. Okay.
Under the pen name Jovial Bob Stein. Oh, I smell a punishment book, gentlemen. That is so dumb. Oh my God. That's so weird. I can't go on living life the same way. This is just bring it home, Nate. I have things to do now.
All right. Tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Or support the podcast by going to patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub or just telling someone to check it out, leaving us a review, shouting our name into the ether, whatever helps.
Or huff a bunch of ether and go on Goodreads and see what happens.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.